Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
35 Senate seats are being contested in total. Right now, the Senate split is 50-50 with Vice President Kamala Harris holding the tie-breaking vote. Democrats also hold a majority in the House of Representatives. The party controls 221 seats versus Republicans 212. Every seat in the House is in play this November.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
You're likely to see an ad from a Democrat talking about abortion. That is going to be key to their message heading into the midterms, because they believe, and polling shows, that this is something that really resonates with their base of support. But you're also seeing them put out messages that are speaking to some of their vulnerabilities. I've seen a lot of ads from Democrats, especially in the greater Washington area, where you have a key congressional race in Virginia, talking about the issue of crime. You're going to see some Democrats kind of starting to lean into that a little bit and really talk about their credentials if they have them.
A month, a half away, 45 days. Midterms 2022. Do you feel any electricity in the air? Maybe it's because we live in California. I don't know, but I really do hope people here in this valley, in this state, in this country, remember what Democrats and some Republicans put us through. So close to being 100% medically controlled, being moved out of our livelihood. I hope we see some bite back on that. That's what I'm looking to see. The Trafalgar Group and Rasmussen report shows Republicans are gaining. Real Clear Politics average of polls include corporate media and surveys. They show Democrats with a 1.1% edge in the generic congressional ballot. That a lot of polls, though, oversample Democrats, even with slanted polls. They're still struggling. Voters are upset. But here's the thing. You can't just assume that to automatically translate to support for Republicans, because I'm going off of what I just experienced. Remember how we thought we were going to go down there and possibly beat USC? Remember that feeling of, yeah, I had that feeling before the Gavin Newsom recall. I'm not going to allow myself to get too built up right here, but it doesn't mean it's just automatically going to go. And anybody out there in the Republican Party, I think it's wise to just disregard anything, any advice coming from Mitch McConnell and those Martini Chamber of Commerce Rhino Republicans, as we've seen. And, the whole Inflation Reduction Act, I hope people see through that. I really do. And I hope there's enough Democrats out there that are upset with the student loan forgiveness, because maybe they already paid their student loans back, or maybe they didn't even go to college, and maybe they look at that as being, nah, that's just not fair. Maybe they'll even think of, hey, you can not like your political opponents. You can even kind of like really, really dislike them, but you can't ever come out and say that they're a threat because they didn't vote for you, to try and incite people to go tamper down that threat, right? To incite people like that. I hope there's enough Democrats that saw through that. Even the raid on Mar-a-Lago, I hope they think that went too far. I hope and I hope and I hope, right? But hey, I tell you. There's a lot of people out there that I think have just literally lost their minds. That's in the 38 comparable states. This is from Ellis Insight, an election analysis service. They said Republicans saw their turnout numbers rise 38% in 2022 from the 2018 base, while Democrats saw a drop of 20%. I'd say that's a little significant. And I would think we would go back to I think we tore some of his statues down recently, haven't we? Abe Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, he said, you can't fool all the voters all the time. And that's true. And people aren't going to vote just in lockstep with all the media spin. I hope they're seeing through that as well. And there's so much that in any election, in my memory, there's a lot of things that actually impact people's daily lives now, more so than in any election time, more so than in 2008. And we'll see what happens down ballot. Glenn Beck recently interviewed. Her name was Sasha Stone, and we've reached out awaiting a response to try and get her on the show. But she devoted her entire life to the Democratic Party. But she now realizes, she said the I think it was the first part of the week, right? She was on Glenn Beck on the morning show on Power Talk, but maybe you heard her talk. I didn't hear her. Squires told me about her, and I looked her up here, and I got some of her quotes right now. But she says the far left is much more occult than the pro-freedom right. I hope there's a lot of hers out there. She said the Democrat Party became a religion, and Biden lost her vote. She said it's very reminiscent of the National Socialist German Party. Yeah, it is. It truly is. She said she had two friends who were Trump haters. And they said, well, his supporters have to be exterminated. And her response was, you know what you sound like, don't you? She said that kept them quiet for just a moment. But she pointed out all the ways they become corrupt and how they're projecting that. That's exactly what they're doing. They're projecting that onto the pro-freedom right, as she called them here. She said the 2020 election was even further proof, at least to me, that the Democrats have now become corrupt. They have too much power and wealth. We might never have a free and fair election again. Look at that. That's a Democrat-turned-truther here, worried about our election. She said they spent $1 billion, the most expensive election in history, to elect Joe Biden. She said they haven't stopped at anything. They've got much more authoritarian with the primetime January 6th show trial, the raid of Mar-a-Lago, now the DOJ going after the Trump and Steve Bannon. She said it's a nightmare, and it is. And they're trying to talk now, the Democrats are, going into the midterms, that they're even going to be like, hi, I'm a Democrat. This is my TV commercial. You know me as the Mr. Tough on Crime guy. I'm a Democrat. You know me. I was the one that always voted to defend our police because I love police, right?
House Democrats will certainly feel like winners with this police funding package, but some businesses out there in high crime areas may still feel like the losers. In Baltimore, Johns Hopkins University held a town hall to move ahead on creating its own private police as crime in that area continues to be a big problem. In Minneapolis, demand for private security has skyrocketed since, of course, the 2020 George Floyd riots. The owner of one security company tells us they went from something like 20 clients in 2020 to now over 70, with calls from new businesses coming in every single week.
Okay, there you go. Didn't work out too well, but they got something called a job interview coming up. An election, the defund Democrats trying to get tough on crime now. Why are they trying to get tough on crime right now? Because they can read. What are they reading? They're reading polls. And the polls show a huge gap between Republicans and Democrats about which party is trusted more to crack down on somebody breaking into your house and cracking you over the head. Democrats, you know, they'll say anything to get elected. You got this cat, Mandela Barnes, running for U.S. Senate in Wisconsin against Republican Ron Johnson, who I like a lot. He's a radical leftist, especially on crime. I mean, he was out there trying to push to end cash bail. He wanted to give felons a right to retain the vote. He wanted to get rid of ICE. He was calling to defund the police. He's now airing a commercial where he's trying to be cop friendly. Here's a little quote from Mandela's now cop friendly commercial. He said, I'll make sure our police have the resources and training they need to keep our community safe, and that communities have the resources to stop crime before it happens. Sherry will right up until he's sworn into office. Today, there's not a lot of budgets available to hire more cops. And it's pretty hard if you want to find somebody out there that's willing to do an extremely dangerous job. And then while you do your dangerous job, and if you ever got to pull out that gun you're given because your job is so dangerous, you know, your thought is the gun's coming out of the holster, your finger's going on the trigger. Oh, no, I'm about to be demonized no matter what I do, right? Think of the psyche of these law enforcement officers across the country when it comes to that. Now, granted, they should have that kind of a feeling when they go to pull, and they do, and they're trained. But it's an extra attack on their psyche. And it's one of those things I can imagine, but I can just imagine. I don't even know how far to imagine what they actually go through mentally, right? When you think at work, like in a meeting, like, oh, I almost said that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that, all right? That's not a life and death oops. Their oops, I wish I did. That's life and death, and it can be in a career, and it can even be jail time, prison time. In the environment that is out there today, as we've seen. So, yeah, they're trying to come up at the last minute here and try and act like they're tough on crime. You knew it was going to come back to bite them. I mean, it didn't take a genius to have to figure that one out, that was happening, right? Well, you know, we can complain about, look at these Democrats, look at these liberals, look at these Marxist rebels coming in here trying to take away the traditions of America. What's our idea? What's the Republican, conservative, GOP idea for America? Well, guess what happened today? They have one.
Republican House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy rolling out the GOP's commitment to America. A plan built, he says, on a strong economy, a safe nation where border security and police are funded. An American future built on freedom.
If you're like everybody else we hear, whether you can afford it, whether you feel safe, the challenge of your children getting lost behind, or a government that's run amok, who has a plan to change that course? We do. The Democrats have no plan for the problem they created.
Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in a statement calling Republicans' plan a commitment to MAGA and an extremist agenda designed to diminish Americans' health, freedom, and security.
I can't believe that all the Republicans in America, it's Mitch McConnell and McCarthy that are the spokespeople for the Senate and the House. Well, I'll come back and tell you what they pinned out for America, the Republican response to all this chaos. We'll listen in next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
We're going to talk with Terry Schilling, President of American Principles Project, about the student decline over the lockdown. Let's hear Fauci versus Fauci. Remember the old spy versus spy? Listen to Fauci versus Fauci. He argues with himself here.
Just like when you shut things down, even temporarily, it does have deleterious consequences on the economy, on the school children. You know that.
Well, I don't think it's forever irreparably damaged anyone.
And sometimes when you do draconian things, it has collateral negative consequences.
Yeah, it hadn't affected anybody, but yeah, we've damaged people. Fauci versus Fauci. The Republicans have responded. Here we go. Kevin McCarthy, the House Republicans unveil the Commitment to America agenda. Four pillars of this: an economy that's strong, a nation that's safe, a future that's built on freedom, and a government that is accountable. Under each pillar that they lay out, they talked about what they are actually going to do. Congressman Steve Scalise said the plan, the Commitment to America, is going to reduce government spending. It's going to cut taxes, going to make it easier for businesses to lower their prices, families to keep more of their hard-earned money. Plan would require the Biden administration to embrace all of the above energy strategies that include petroleum, natural gas, and nuclear power that we produce here at home. This would reduce skyrocketing gas prices and rising household energy costs. Democrats support defunding the police and amnesty for illegals. Violent crime, murder out of control. This is Scalise listing everything that's wrong. He said homicide rates have gone up 50%. More than 100,000 Americans died from drug overdoses. Two-thirds came from opioids like fentanyl. He said Republicans have a simple solution. Stay with law enforcement and secure our borders. He said renewal of border wall construction is key. Parents being able to speak up at school board meetings or passing a parent's bill of rights, give them a stronger voice. Talked about the worst border crisis in American history, with more than 3 million have been apprehended during Basement Boy Joe's presidency. He said House Secretary of State Blinken, National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, DHS Mayorkas allowed to keep their jobs. He said they refuse to investigate anything mismanagement of our country. He said it's a clear dereliction of duty. Enough is enough. Republicans will use the power of congressional oversight to hold the Biden administration accountable. Said they understand the struggles. We have a bold conservative plan that will reverse these policies and get our nation back on track. That was Steve Scalise talking about this here. This is, I'm on their side. Sure I am. But I wanted to hear something like, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to build refugee camps where they can be held until they're safe, and we're going to return them to their country of origin. We're going to do that in Arizona. We're going to do that in Texas, and we're going to do that in California, because that's what international law requires. There is no requirement that as the United States of America, we have to accept anybody. You know, make a statement. Stop with just the Hallmark Republican bullet points. It just sounds like what they did is they took all their TV and radio commercials and threw it into a blender and came out with that statement. I mean, literally, we need action plans. We're going to build refugee camps in Tucson, in Yuma, and Eagle Pass, Texas. We're going to put them in San Antonio. We're going to put them into Brownsville. Biden administration's invited the world to move over here, so we're going to have to stop that immediately. You know what they need to say is there's absolutely nothing wrong with our immigration laws except for lack of enforcement. When you read them on paper, it makes sense, because that's what every other country in the world does. I really wish they'd come right out and called out Venezuela as well and said no more. And I know that they want, well, not all Republicans want what true MAGA, make it good again, make it great again, Republicans want out here. But NPR a couple days ago, one of their commentators was speaking on immigration, and they refer to those that are surging, you know, crashing the border, as legal immigrants. And nobody said a word on NPR. Nobody has said a word at all. And up at Martha's House, right, that's a beautiful example for the nation to see. The Democrats use the military to deport every last illegal from their island in less than 48 hours. I wish the Republicans had said, hey, it's what the entire nation should do, what Martha's Vineyard actually pulled off. That's what we need to do. Now, this big Republican plan that's out there, I would have come right out and laid it out, because Biden's surrender on the border, that's the Democrats' biggest liability right now. It's tied into crime as well. And because he ended Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, if he hadn't done that, I bet you now he wishes that he didn't do that. Newsweek is sounding a little bit like Breitbart from 2 years ago. They're finally catching up. Here they're actually talking about the field office seizing 588 pounds of fentanyl, an 11-fold increase over 2020. Newsweek asking, is Biden unaware that fentanyl overdose is the leading cause of death for Americans ages 18 to 45? They even went on to say, in addition to drug cartels, gangs, and terrorists. FBI Director Christopher Wray warned that the staggering number of people illegally crossing poses a significant security issue that terrorists can exploit. Again, that's Newsweek. Sounds like Breitbart from 5 years ago. But people are starting to pay attention, and hopefully it's going to be one of the big issues that we see coming up here in the midterms. But we know the control. They want the control. They love the control. They have to have the control. And we were almost 100% under the authority of Joe Biden's medical control. What happened during that lockdown, though? It was all blur. I call it the forgotten years. Student decline has just fallen off. Imagine going like 100 miles an hour right at the Grand Canyon. And you drop down. That fall, that's what's happened to our kids. We're going to talk with Terry Schilling, president of the American Principals Project. He's on the show next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
A year ago, a year and a half ago, if you said out loud, those kids should be in school, they'd be like, don't you care that grandma could die? That was the, that was just the message went round and around and around and around, and they still got the power, and the students have declined. Terry Schilling is the president of the American Principals Project. Back on the show. Terry, happy Friday to you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Trevor. Love coming on.
Well, we're getting some bad reports here. California hasn't put it all out. Fresno Unified did here with our scores. The state education has delayed. But this student decline over the lockdown, Terry, it's like a tsunami that's going to keep going for, we don't know, a decade, the effect, or longer?
Way longer. And look, this is, COVID was a good way to let everyone know about the real cancer that our education system has become. But it wasn't the cause of all this. The schools haven't been teaching our kids well for a very long time. They've been replacing all of our core curriculum with garbage, with racism, with critical race theory, with fake American history, with weird transgender stuff and weird sex ed stuff. They've been replacing all of our core things that kids need to learn and to be fluent in with all this garbage. So COVID was great at exposing everything, but I don't think we should let these guys off the hook. We have a failure of an education system in this country. It's a cancer, and it's not even doing any good. It's actually causing a lot of harm to our kids and the next generation of Americans, and we really need to figure this out soon before it becomes an even bigger problem.
You're right. Don't let them off the hook. I did a couple shows this week that, you know, with Biden just so casually at the auto show in Detroit going, yeah, the pandemic's over. It just brought back so much anger. They need to be held accountable, these teacher unions. And out here, Terry, in California with Newsom and the teacher unions, and even locally with our teacher unions here, they fought tooth and nail to keep those kids out of the classroom.
They did, and they also fought tooth and nail to keep their salaries the same, right? I think California is probably just a step worse than Fairfax County, where I currently live, but it's corrupted. It is rotten to the core. These guys shut down the schools. They didn't teach our kids for over a year, and they didn't take a single cut in pay. How insane is that? The rest of us, you know, my family has a small business. That took a huge cut, right? Like, how many other millions of Americans had to take tough cuts and had to deal with the situation the government did? But our schools and these counselors and these administrations, by the way, 50% of every dollar that goes into our education system is not going to teachers and to teaching our kids. It's going into administrative costs, right? Like, just the paperwork and staying in line with all these federal grants. It's a total nightmare, Trevor. You can tell I'm really upset about it.
Yeah, it sounds like those nightmare charities where like 90% goes to keep the charity running, 10% actually goes to the people that need the help. Here in California, Terry, it's $20,000 a kid now per year to educate here. And people, yeah, they did get, you know, none of the teachers and the counselors, nobody got cuts, but people literally lost their jobs, just not cuts with this. And during the COVID, as they called it, emergency, we had California teachers on TikTok down in Ensenada with no mask on, putting videos up, just enjoying themselves. Now, that's not to say that all teachers are of that mindset. We got some good teachers that made them sick what happened. And but, you know, what I'm figuring out, Terry, I've heard for some teachers who are conservatives and they're like their teacher union dues. They go ahead and pay them to the union because if like a student ever accuses them of something and they need an attorney, the union covers them. It's like an insurance blanket for being a teacher. But it makes a lot of these teachers sick to have to give their union dues to these unions that go against everything they believe in.
No, that's exactly right. And that's an important thing to remember is there are a lot of bad apples in our school system and our schools are being run by bad people. But that doesn't mean that the teachers are bad, right? There are still millions of really good teachers who we need to keep in the system that are trying to do their job. But these administrators and these school officials, these school boards, they give them these ridiculous mandates and they force them to do this. You know, I'm sure you're aware, being in California, the rules and laws that they put into place in these school systems to hide things from the parents, right? Like if your kid's going through a crisis where they're confused about their gender, the schools are actually instructed not to inform the parents if they think the parents won't be supportive of a gender transition. Right, like these are the rules, these are the laws, the policies that these guys are putting into place, and it makes a lot of these teachers uncomfortable. And those are the good guys, but they feel outnumbered and outgunned, and in a lot of ways they are.
Didn't we used to warn our kids that if there's any grown-up that tells you don't tell your mommy and daddy, you immediately come tell mommy and daddy what that person is saying to you, right? That was a warning we would give kids. Now, I mean, and we used to not think that would be the school district. That was the guy in the raincoat on the corner, right?
No, yeah, that's like parenting 101 is to get that across to your kids. If someone's trying to hide something from the parents, yeah, you want to tell the parents immediately what's going on. No, that's exactly right. But these are sick people, right? And they look, this was all part of, I was just reminded of this. I gave a speech at Turning Point USA. They wanted me to talk about the Great Reset and its goals to abolish the family. And I was reminded by a supporter of ours about how in 1963, there was a member of Congress, Congressman Herlong from Florida, who in 1963 entered the 45 goals of the Communist Party into the congressional record. It's still there. And you can see, it's like, I think it's goal number 38 is to separate children from the negative influence of their parents. Right, so the Marxists and the communists have always believed that parents are a bad thing, that parents shouldn't be in charge of their kids because it's a separate authority from the state, and they're implementing it now.
Yeah, right? They stole that from the Hitler Youth. I was just watching a Hitler Youth documentary this last week. Oh yeah, that was a big thing because so many parents didn't want their kids, and at first it was voluntary. Then it became mandatory, Terry. Hey, here in Fresno Unified, they did put out some of our test results. Let's see here. In English language arts, 32% of the students tested met or exceeded. 32, that meant 68% did not. When it comes to standards in math, 21% met. 79% did not meet it. I mean, that's like, if that trend continues, we'll have nobody smart enough to build bridges in the future.
But that's the goal, right? This is the frustrating thing for me as someone that's been working in this education space and the family space for the last 5-6 years, is people think that this is an accident. People think that, oh, they're not given enough resources. This is the goal. They want your kids to be dumb. They want your kids to rely on a smartphone in order to be able to think. They don't want them to critically think or think outside the box or ask questions. They want mindless, brainless idiots who will just take orders and do whatever the state or whatever the corporation wants them to do. This is the goal. And your results are not that far off from what we have in Fairfax County, Virginia. The same similar results. I think it was 37%. Of kids in third grade met or exceeded the English scores for their testing. The scores were so bad that they stopped testing in Fairfax County. And you know what they said? They said that, well, this is really harmful to minorities. Minorities don't do as well on standardized testing, so we just need to stop. So it's so cruel and so backwards here in Fairfax County. I'm sure it's here that way in California, where they're stopping the testing, so we don't even know how badly we're failing our kids, minority or not. It's absolutely a travesty.
Whether it's school or even in the military, that overweight women can't throw the hand grenade far enough, so we're going to stop testing for hand grenade throwing in the military. It's just beyond that we've seen. The science test score here in Fresno, let's see, grades 5, 8, 11, and 12, 83% did not meet or exceed in science. 83%. I mean, that's beyond dumbing down. We need to clean house. We need to fire them all. We just need to start over is what needs to happen, because it's been infiltrated, as you stated from the congressman in 1963. It's upon us. We've seen this here. And you said way further. I said, what, is this going to affect us for a decade or longer? But it will affect us as long as these individuals are alive and raising their kids. So it's a generational effect.
And don't forget, these people are voting, right? These people in America, we have a republic where America, your fellow man, gets to decide who is in control and what laws are passed. These people are going to be voting. Right. This is all going to have an impact on you, whether you like it or not. And we have to we don't have an option. So, like, you know, I've had to suck it up. I've had to cut back a ton of my budget and send my kids to private school. Meanwhile, I'm still paying my property taxes and my state taxes and my federal taxes to pay for these darn schools that aren't even teaching our kids. But you have to at least make your own kids self-sufficient and independent and critical thinkers. You have to at least do that with your own kids. That's step one. But we do have to fix this public education system. It's not going away. It's a necessity for our country. We have to fix it. And I think it starts with firing a bunch of people, especially at the top.
Terry, Fresno Unified School District, can you think of the only school district across America that we beat academically? Can you maybe pick the city that might be?
Chicago?
You're close. Keep going. A little further east.
New York?
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit. Oh, my goodness.
Detroit. Yeah. So I say we got the worst school district this side of the Mississippi. And it's sad. It's truly sad. I think, aren't we the third? I think Fresno Unified is the third largest in California. It is the third. So, I mean, it's huge. And the amount of money that they get and the results that we get. And we got these cultural Marxists on the board. We got one trustee that's not. And these other cultural Marxist women on this school board here, just I guess they have it in for the students. That's what I look at it at. Like they just got it in for them. They don't want them to learn. And with the lockdowns and what you've written and talked about, Terry, is it affected so many poor students. And here in the San Joaquin Valley, poverty is rampant, and they really, really, really let them down.
No, they did, and you said the stat of all stats. You know, in Fairfax County, I was mad because I did the math, and they spend $17,000 per kid in the public school here. You guys beat us at 20 grand. Listen, for 17,000, I tell people, your kids should know Latin. They should know Greek. They should know the ancient history of, you know, ancient Babylon. They should know all of this stuff. But they don't even know American history. They don't even know English. They don't even know basic math. These kids are coming out dumber after a $20,000 a year high school and middle school education. That is insane. That is literally insane. It's criminal fraud, right? Like, they complain about Trump University, right? But Trump University didn't have taxpayer funding in it. It was at least a choice for people. But this is criminal. I mean, this is criminal fraud.
Well, you said you were speaking to Turning Point USA. That's a lot of young people. I guess that has to give you a little boost to see that they're not all what we saw. I forgot who it was. The guy, maybe Mark Dice, one of these guys that go out there and interview people on the street. And these two UCLA students, two females, couldn't even tell the guy on the street where the capital of the United States is. UCLA students.
Yeah, and they ask, you know, I like Mark Dice because he'll offer people an ounce of gold or a $20 bill, and people will take the $20 bill. You know, he really does show how far Americans have fallen. That's exactly right. You ask people how many days are in a year, and they can't tell you. There's a new channel that asks people in New York City these simple questions: how many presidents have we had? Who was the first president? Who won the Civil War? People have no clue. And it's because we're not teaching them anything. And that's why you have things like flat earth theory making a comeback, because we haven't educated our kids and they know that they're being lied to. So they think everything's a lie. It's totally crazy what's going on in our country.
Do you believe those round earth pictures? That must mean you believe in NASA.
Well, I do think that NASA exists, and I do think we went to the moon. I don't think it's impossible that they could have faked it.
Oh, okay, ready? Okay, Terry, listen, I spend hours on weekends just watching weird things on YouTube. Can you explain? I hope we went to the moon, because I had pictures as a kid of the astronauts up, and I was just fascinated with it all in the 70s, with all the moon stuff. But what about the video of the flag that's waving? Have you seen that? I mean, how do you describe that? There's no wind on the moon. How do they... You tell me that one. That's the one that gets me.
No, you know what? I haven't seen that one, but I I'm like you. I sometimes I can't sleep, and I do, you know, do these deep dives on the internet with all the theories out there, and you know, I do find them fascinating. But I do think we went to the moon. I think we can get to the moon. Like, the thing is, I have a brother who's like really into this stuff, and he will laugh at me. He laughs in my face when I tell him that the Earth is round, right? Like, he's that convinced. But I think there's a lot of interesting things out there. It does pique my interest, but I definitely think we could get to the moon, and I think we did go to the moon. But some of these things are just way out there. But it's all making a comeback because of our education system and how much it's failing our kids. And you know, I did not think we'd be talking about this stuff today. That's great.
I'll send you the video of the flag waving. That's the one I just can't understand. Hey, Terry, where can they follow you out there online? You'll be on what, Coast to Coast tonight, talking about aliens?
Aliens and lizard people. It's just Schilling1776 across all the platforms: Twitter, Instagram, Truth Social, Getter, all those.
Schilling1776. That sounds like a domestic terrorist handle. All right. Hey, Terry, God bless you. Have a great weekend. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Trevor. See ya.
You betcha. The National Traffic Safety Board, they're looking into Fresno. I'll tell you why next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Back in January, it was the first day of the year of 2021. 28-year-old Daniel Luna was driving down Highway 33 near Avenal. He was drunk, driving at speeds close to 100 miles an hour. He crashed his SUV into a pickup truck being driven by Gabriella Verdine. Her four kids and three nieces and nephews were passengers. Luna died on the impact of the pickup, and it caught fire, and it killed all eight inside. That was a horrible story, just a horrible way to start the year here in this valley. The NTSB, National Traffic Safety Board, is using this crash as an example why change is needed. They want to require all new vehicles to be equipped with alcohol impairment detection system, which would prevent or limit the operation if a driver's had too much alcohol in their system. They're calling on automotive manufacturers to accelerate the development of this technology and integrate it in as quickly as possible. So if I'm following the story right, I guess every time that we would get into our new car that couldn't be gas powered anymore in the future, right? It would just assume you're drunk. You would have to be required to kind of, I guess, blow into some kind of device to start your car. That sounds like the city of Fresno rental plan thing where they were going after slum landlords. So they had every landlord have to go online and fill out something, even the ones that had no complaints against them. Kind of tells me in that direction this is going. Now, believe me, what we need to have I don't care how drunk you are, if you're able to find your keys and put it in, start it, and kind of stay on a road, you're thinking well enough to go, wait, if I get caught drunk driving, I get my hands chopped off. We need to have some kind of law that stops it. We don't need to be like, well, okay, they beat us, so we're just going to have everybody go through this, right? I guess you would have a lot of people leaving a restaurant, right, that you were at for 3 hours and you had drinks and you think, oh, I'm fine. We just got 2 miles to the house right here, right? Bing. You're drunk. Your car will not start. I guess that's going to be the future. National Traffic Safety Board using Fresno right here as the go-to because of that horrible, horrible story that was there. And it was a horrible, horrible story, right? You know somebody that's voting Democrat and they're still, like, sane enough to have a political discussion with you over, I don't know, over our livelihood, over illegal immigration? Ask them to explain the Democrat Party's open border policy and then just wait. Ask them what the Democrat border policy is. It would be really, really interesting to hear what the response might be. I'll give you my response and we'll do it next here.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.